Good afternoon. Welcome to the Man in Line on Manx Radio. You can call 66 13 68 live between now and 1 o'clock. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever's on your mind, put it out there. If we have no positive cases today, it'll be one day since we had 75 yesterday. Keep our fingers crossed, shall we? At 5.15 yesterday, we had 580 cases. 37,625 total tests. All were concluded as of 5:15 yesterday, and 498 people will be getting tests. 498. So 580 total active cases, 75 new ones yesterday, 7 people in hospital. That's the situation. As far as vaccinations concerned, from the government's dashboard, it says 28,683 total vaccinations have taken place. 19,236 first dose, 9,445 second dose, and we're holding 10,182 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. There is a media briefing this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So we'll see what happens, and of course you'll be able to hear that live on Manx Radio. We've carried all of them live. You'll hear it on AM and FM today, and also on our social media channels, on our YouTube channel and Facebook as well. And as always, there will be a live blog. If you can't get close to anything like a media player, or indeed if you're hard of hearing, there will be that live blog. Howard joins us first today. Hello, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. Are you well, sir?
Oh, I'm very happy today.
Good, good. No, just going to stir the old grey matter, and a lot of old people like myself. Boris Johnson suggested recently about running a tunnel through in various parts of the UK, going to a roundabout under the Isle of Man. It just brought to mind, because I've just had a text from one of the family from across asking, is it true? And it brought back to my mind many, many years ago, when you consider our government here at the present moment is full of brilliant ideas, this is something that was suggested, and maybe some of the older generation on the island here can remember it and confirm it, that I'm not imagining it, to dig a canal from Douglas all the way through the Central Valley, through Union Mills and all the way out and emerging out in Peel, so that ships sailing in the Irish Sea did not have to go all the way around the Isle of Man.
When was this?
It was a long time ago. And it was suggested, not within anywhere within our present government, or I'd say about at least 10 governments previous, I'd say in the 60s. And it was to dig a canal right through from Douglas to Peel, so the ships coming round the Irish Sea could go through the canal and not have to go round the Isle of Man, save time and money.
So the 1960s, that would be the era of T.H. Colburn, Bill Quayle, Victor Neal and
oh,
people.
Oh, yeah, that's them, yep. T.H. Colburn, he suggested putting a cable car from the pier at the end of the Victoria Pier up to where you are now.
Oh, yes, I remember. I've seen diagrams of that.
That's right. Well, this is another one of the fancy ideas. I just wonder whether it was something that was, I don't think it was an April Fool, but those sort of things were coming up left, right and centre at the time. And I just wonder whether anybody else can remember the suggestion that was made, or is it just me being, going back to my old...
You didn't eat too much cheese last thing last night, did you, Howard?
I'm sorry, Andy.
You didn't eat too much cheese, did you, last thing last night?
No, but I think some of the present government are... So see if any of your listeners, just to make a change from COVID and the usual moaning and groaning.
Well, we'll find out, Howard.
Some of the crazy ideas that's come up in the past.
All right. Thanks for calling us today.
Take care. Bye.
All right. It's 11 minutes past 12. Do you remember the canal? So if it was the 1960s, there were some fairly notable politicians in the 1960s who came up with many ideas. Here's Brian on the Man in Line. Hello, Brian.
Oh, good morning to you. I'll just turn this radio down so I don't get a back feed. OK. Right. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Afternoon, sure. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Do you know anything about this canal?
I don't know anything about the canal, but I was on the boat when they were running into Peel in the winter months in bad weather.
Ah, what? Who were you on the boats with?
The Allemann steam packet. I was a seaman on them.
Okay, and which was the boat? Which one was going in?
Oh, they were all well at that time, but this was on the winter months only. You had two vessels on the daily service, one to Liverpool and one from Liverpool.
And what was the names of the boats?
Manxman and the Mourner's Isle was two of them. They were the two main ones. But when they went into dock and for the service, there was other boats like the Snaefell and Timwell and that. They used to come out and relieve them while they were having their survey.
And how easy was it to get them into Peel?
Not easy at all. No, it wasn't. I remember one trip in particular in the early 60s where we left Liverpool in a southeast gale, come towards Douglas. There was no chance of getting in. So we went round the chickens to Peel, but the wind had veered round. And that was out. So we went up round the point of air and back to Douglas again. Hence to say the wind was following us. We couldn't get back into Douglas either. And we'd done that twice round the island before we got back, and eventually into Douglas. And I think it was 40-something odd hours we were not seeing that one trip coming from Liverpool.
Crikey.
Yeah. And that was some storm. But no stabilisers in them days. The most modern thing they had was a power rudder.
And how many were on the dockside hauling the thing in?
Oh, well, you have the Ropeman and Douglas. I think there was about six or eight, I'm not sure, of the regular guys. And they used to take the cargo off the passenger boats as well, because we used to carry deck cargo in them days as well.
Okay. Brian, it's good to hear from you today. Thanks for being with us.
Okay. Good to hear.
It's 14 minutes past 12 on The Man in Line today. If you have any recollections of this canal, the canal that was going to be dug between Douglas and Peel to stop boats going round from one to the other, we'd like to hear about that. If it's true, of course, or whether it's just, you know, something that's been plucked out of the air. Civic amenity sites on the Isle of Man are closed for public safety reasons during the lockdown. Now, this has prompted all sorts of questions about what you should do for waste disposal and collecting refuse. Our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave, went to the Western facility this morning.
I'm often accused of talking rubbish, but that's taking on quite a literal sense this morning as we discuss a serious issue on the island. And this morning, outside a blustery civic community site in the west of the island, the gates, which would usually be expected to open in around about 20 minutes' time, will remain shut. Now, people listening to this might be shouting at their radios. That's obviously because of lockdown. But it isn't as straightforward as that. Now, the Department of Infrastructure have issued advice around COVID-19 on social distancing and advising people to stay at home where possible. However, you may note that essential shops and services have remained open since the third lockdown was enforced, and it's prompted concerns and questions such as how come supermarket staff are expected to come face-to-face with customers and the public, arguably in closer confines than those working in the civic amenity site. But the civic amenity sites are the ones that are closed. And Bill Dale, as you heard before, now making a direct link between the closure of the civic amenity sites and the recent cases of fly tipping we've seen in the island here in the west as well. But the local authorities have determined that due to that government advice and the surge in active COVID-19 cases, the closures of the facilities is the sensible decision.
So when are they likely to reopen?
Well, that we don't know just yet. There's concern about travel and whether there's a joined up approach between the local authorities. I was speaking to a couple of members of local authority boards yesterday, and there was concern that travel was a key issue here. And if one were to open, but the other civic community sites were to remain closed, then that would prompt people from all over the island to go to that one site. There was a meeting last night in the west of the island, and the outcome was that all civic community sites, and that's not just here in the west, but on the island in all regions, are to remain closed in line with the government advice. But we've seen that fly tipping has become a problem in some areas. And some authorities say they're not aware of fly tipping themselves. That's in the north of the island, but they are aware of those recent cases. And just because they haven't seen fly tipping in their regions, that doesn't mean it isn't existing. And the concern, as I said before, that if one civic community site does open, that people from all of the island would travel to that one particular facility.
So just finally, Chris, what should people do? What options are there for waste disposal in the meantime?
Well, it is a problem for people. Despite pubs, clubs, gyms, hairdressers, etc., you name it, being closed, waste is still being generated, obviously, and it needs to be disposed of. It's up to each individual authority how they assist people with this problem. Ramsey is one authority which is being active in this issue. Extra services are being put on for residents in the north. Additional refuse collection will take place on the third week of the month while the lockdown restrictions are still in place. That's set to begin on the 22nd, or the week beginning 22nd of March. Aside from that, though, until government advice is updated or lockdown restrictions are lifted, it's likely the amenity sites will remain closed.
Yeah, Northern Amenity site is closed, and we know you're on about it on the radio this morning. But do what Ramsey Town Commission's do. The bin wagon's going around with a pickup truck following it to pick up any excess rubbish that's left with your bins.
It's 18 minutes past 12. David joins us on the Man in Line. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Andy. I'd like to know, is there anybody else on the Isle of Man that works for the government who is shielding, who is actually being pressurised to go back to work?
Why do you ask?
Well, my daughter is shielding, and for the three times now, she's had her two jabs because she's vulnerable. And now the department that she works for in government are pressurising her to go back to work. Now, if she's meant to be shielding, if she goes back to work, I know she's not going to get anything bad, but she's meant to be shielding. But then they turn around and say, well, if you stay off, we'll take the time off your annual leave. Well, I think that's disgusting.
And how long has this been going on?
Well, ever since the first time. Well, no, it's only the last 2 weeks that the government, well, her department where she works, has been pressurising her to come back to work.
And is she working from home, David?
No, she can't work from home, Andy.
Okay, and what's been her approach to this? Has she taken it up with a line manager? Has anybody else got involved?
Well, from what I can gather, it's just she's getting pressurised to go back to work. So I just says, well, just get in touch with the union. If you've got a letter to shield, they cannot pressurise you to come back to work until the government say, right, people who are shielding, you can go back to work or whatever. But I'd just like to know of anybody else
who works
with the government who's getting pressurised to go back to work.
Thanks for raising that, David. So if you are particular, or if you know somebody who is being pressurised to go back, if you're shielding, then get in touch with us and let's see how prevalent that is. That's David's story. Peter's with us now on the Man in Line. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon. Just a thought on the Southern 100 being cancelled. I wonder if it'd be possible to run a long bank holiday weekend, say in the end of August, just for the local riders around the Southern 100 circuit.
Why do you want something to happen, Peter?
Because I think people need things to go on now on the island, you know, and especially in times of August, and something to look forward to.
Okay, and do you think that will be feasible regarding marshals and organisation and what have you? And are there enough riders?
Well, if you think you could take the senior race day and move that holiday to the weekend of, say, an August bank holiday and make it a 4-day holiday, I'm sure there's enough people on the Isle of Man that would volunteer to be a marshal to get some racing on and something for the Isle of Man. You know, there's plenty of local riders about, and I'm sure the Southern 100 would even sort something out, especially if you do it now and say, can you come forward, would you be willing to register as a marshal for the Southern 100 in August?
David, Peter, the question that nobody wants to ask, so I'll ask it. How close do you think we are to losing road racing forever if we keep on cancelling things?
Well, I think the TT is a definite one-off, you know, and you're always going to get people from all around the world that wants the challenge of the TT. There's nothing else like it in the world, so I think that will survive. And the Manx Grand Prix really as well, because, again, you get so many specialised riders that want to ride the TT and all the ages.
What's the special feature, do you think, about the Southern 100? Is it the course? Is it the atmosphere? Is it the camping field? What is it?
Well, again, it's pure road racing, isn't it? And there's not many places left that you can do pure road racing. You know, we're lucky here that we still survive with some pure road racing like Ireland does, but there's not many other places in the world that can do it.
OK. All right. That's good to hear from you today, Peter. Thanks for raising that about the Southern 100, whether or not we can get a shorter, smaller, more compact Southern 100 at August Bank Holiday. David, back with us. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to change the subject matter if I can and add some little flavour for the future when we're all back to normal. And it's such a nice day in the Isle of Man, I thought I'd plug that out first, that maybe I could suggest to you that we'd have some guests on and some organisations like the Chamber of Commerce and the Employers Federation. And I'll tell you for why I would suggest that is because those both organisations, to me, are a little bit quiet at the minute regarding stimulating the economy. What are they doing to stimulate our government to support them when we're having a little blip at the minute? What are their plans for the future? And I'd love to see or get a feel to see what the Employers Federation, because we are seeing a decline in apprenticeships in the Isle of Man. I don't see anybody picking young children now up of any age. They've got to be over 16 anyway to get a job, because that's going to be our future, because we don't want to start importing people. And the other one is to do with the Chamber of Commerce plus the Employers Federation regarding the AG's hub to see if it's working. Because when I was in government, and that's not so long ago now, it's over 5 years now, 6 years, we used to have a preference to having contracts based on the Isle of Man, whether you were an agent, you could supply stuff or through an agent. So we have that, trickle-down or trickle-up effect, like ShopRite used to do. Every pound spent in the store in the Isle of Man created so much revenue.
Well, they reckon every pound spent on the Isle of Man is £7 into the economy, the multiplier effect.
Yeah, and I think that whether it's that much now or still is debatable, I suppose. But what it does prove is when we stimulate our own economy internally, what we're doing is employing people, they're paying national insurance and tax, and that's for the future when the rest of us are not here. And I'd love you to get those two organisations on. I'm sure they would want to come on. And I would love to find out what's the position of government now with Treasury, because do they still favour it? I'm getting a little feeling in the Isle of Man now that government departments are looking for the cheapest price. The cheapest is not always the best, as we know. That's happened in the past. But what if you do something local with a local company, you can knock on the door and say to them, let's get this thing sorted. And it employs people. That's the major thing. Employs the apprenticeships, brings in tax, and brings in national insurance.
And I just want to say two things, David, regarding that. You're talking about young people making a life, getting into the world of employment, getting skills. Two things. Young people want entertainment, and young people want to get a foot on the housing ladder. And if we don't have entertainment for people on, and young people gravitate towards entertainment, they like to have fun. And if we're putting housing beyond young people, isn't that sort of countermanding anything we might do as well?
Well, when you're a government and you support the government in its initiatives that are coming forward, and I don't see many actually coming forward at the minute. But what you could do, and they did a pilot scheme on one of them, I think it was down Colby Way, where the house owners only had to pay or stump up half the deposit, and they paid it over a number of years. Now, I know a particular state at the minute now, the restriction on selling their property is now relaxed, and you'd be surprised, and it's in Onken, there's five or six houses now up for sale, and some of them are selling because younger people are buying them, what we call a first-step house, if you see what I mean, or first-time buyer. And those other people who were in those houses have moved on because they've either accumulated money or the interest rate's gone down.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. The last thing we want to do, though, is to export our young, well-educated, vital young people.
No, we don't want to do that at all. And why are we not? Because the Isle of Man is a safe place. It's always been a safe place to live and work and bring your families up. That's why I think you'll find a lot of people come here or want to come here. But we've got to make sure those businesses that we want and those high-worth net individuals, I'm not criticising them all, but some of those high-worth net individuals are fine for the Isle of Man. Don't tell us what to do in our own country. Work with us.
All right, David, thanks for calling today.
See
you. All right, and here's Ken on the man in line. Hello, Ken.
Good afternoon to you. Just a word of warning to everybody about this 111 system. If you've been waiting more than a week for a telephone call back, because 9 days ago I registered priority five for me and the wife, and I thought, it's been 9 days now, I'll give them a ring. I actually got through quite quickly, 111, and because I've got quite a strange name, she said quite straight away, ooh, sorry, you're not on the register. I don't know what's happened. I'll re-register, or I'll register for the first time now, you and the wife.
And did they give any reason?
Something I would have said, that perhaps somebody didn't press the right button, which sometimes I do. I don't press the right button or the wrong button. Don't know. No. There's so many different people on that, you know, doing the registration that you can't. But, so if you've been waiting more than 7 days, give them a ring back.
Okay.
I was tempted to go online, but because I phoned up again and got, well, somebody sensible to talk to, hopefully.
Okay, all right, Ken. Thanks for keeping us up to speed with that. Just a quick word. It is Thursday today. It's Thursday, March the 11th. We are on lockdown day number 9 today. Lockdown 3, day number 9. It's a Thursday, which means they're all socially distanced, they're all sanitised, and the Isle of Man Farmers Market is on today at St John's Church Hall, just by our National Church. It's on till 3 this afternoon. Get all your Manx produce and have a skeet at a social distance as well. The Isle of Man Farmers Market on today, the 11th. I think also they're on Saturday. Of course, every Saturday, this Saturday, the 13th, at Ramsey Courthouse as well. Peter was talking about the Southern Hundred. Of course, no road racing on the Isle of Man this year when the TT was called off in December. It was announced on Tuesday the Southern Hundred isn't going ahead, and the Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT, the latest to announce a cancellation. It comes after the government announced the coronavirus exit framework, which shows some border restrictions are likely to remain in place until September. Phil Edge from the Southern Hundred says September's too late for the Southern Hundred.
Obviously, that puts everything into perspective, and that our meeting is July, so nobody will be able to get over for the Rare Sub 100. We looked at other dates, alternative dates, but we came up with the problems then with lack of guarantees of medical cover, and or possibly the same with marshalling. So we had to make the decision, and unfortunately, and we now look forward to 2022.
And what's the reaction been from riders? Has there been much reaction there?
Very, very disappointed that it's been cancelled for the same year running. But they fully understand the circumstances over here, and they're looking forward to coming back in 2022 and enjoying racing again on the Bland circuit.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. Some notes in from David. The reason the amenity site shut was because the government made it very clear for people not to travel or socially mix, precisely what people do when they use the amenity sites. They ignore the rules and become abusive to the staff when they're not allowed to assist in unloading or have to refuse certain items. The staff are also put at risk by rule breakers, says David, and that's the main reason. Sorry if this is the wrong place and the wrong time, but have all the people coming to the Isle of Man under the contractual property purchase compassionate leave been stopped? And if not, why? As under the last lockdown, all these excuses were suspended as we were nowhere near the dire straits we find ourselves in at the moment. And don't say they're being monitored. I think it's a joke, says Kev, cynical Kev as well. Why are the public, says John, not getting a better breakdown of the coronavirus figures? Are the new numbers in the community spread from family members to family members or isolating together? I'd like some more information. I can't see why immunity sites pose a risk with COVID, says this correspondent. The bigger risk is storing rubbish in your house, a practice frowned on by the fire service during normal times, but encouraged during lockdown as well. And you heard that phone caller earlier on say that apparently in Ramsey, they're going round after the bin wagon collecting excess. A note in from Francesca, who just said, I often listen to your radio station from an app called the Radio Garden, not another one. I'd like to thank you for all the... I try better with my English pronunciation. We get lots of people, since all the apps and all the online stuff started, lots of people are finding Manx Radio as well. So, Francesca, thanks for your note in. You don't say where you're from. A note in from Tracy, who said, Andy, do you know when carers could have their turn for the vaccine? We're not sure where this information is on the government website. I care for my husband at home. Well, if you're a carer and you know anything about that, then drop us a note or call. I had a test at 11 o'clock on Tuesday at the grandstand, contacted by the GP at 11:30 on Wednesday to say I've tested positive, and the track and trace team would be in touch, says DS. I'm still waiting, and it's Thursday. And Claudia said, Andy, I'd like to know how many of the new daily cases are unexpected, unexplained, not found through contact tracing, not obviously related to the previously identified cases. It will be great to know more detailed information in the daily figures. And a question regarding vaccination strategy. Has the long delay in adopting the UK's 10-week interval between jabs 1 and 2 made us more exposed to the inevitable dangers of a sudden flare-up like this? Many people were forecasting this as well. Malcolm says, Howard, he thinks the canal ideas was an April fool. Well, we'll find out. I think it's a wonderful idea for a canal through the middle of the Isle of Man. It will bring in some pennies, says AJ as well. And freight could be carried by rail if the new railway bridges were future-proofed for trains, says John. Nice strategy anyway as well. Message in just said, this is Graham, why is it that the last time the Northern Tip had an appointment system which worked well, why not again?
For the time being, Pascos are closing outdoors to keep in line with current government regulations and to protect all our customers and our team. But don't worry, we're still here for urgent replacements and can carry out contactless doorstep deliveries. Just leave a message on the showroom answer machine at 676066 or email pascos@manx.net. And as soon as we're able to reopen, Pascos will be ready to welcome you back in store. Stay safe from all of us at Pascos of Tramode, your island's premier electrical appliance retailer.
They got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM,
on time and on budget,
DPM,
will beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 612000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
Abbey Dental invite new and existing patients to visit our friendly, experienced team who will ensure you receive quality dental care in a comfortable, calm and safe setting. With Abbey Dental, you can have all your dental treatments on island, including tooth whitening, Invisalign and implants. Relax knowing our professional team will keep your teeth sparkling and gums healthy. Choose the patient practice. Choose Abbey Dental in Ballasalla, where even parking is easy. Call 823040 to make an appointment.
Care to play? Then play to care with the Hospice Lottery. We still need your help so we can continue to be here for those who need us now and in the future. Playing the Hospice Lottery costs just £5 a month with the chance of winning £1,000. So liven up your lockdown and help us to continue making a life-changing difference. Visit hospice.org.im/lottery and sign up now. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be 16 or over.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
All courtesy of the Alamann Railway's time train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember tipped weights, opal fruits or jamboree bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the time train with Alamann Railways and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
23 minutes before one. Ed's with us. Hello, Ed.
How you doing? All right.
Yes. Do you know anything about this canal?
No, nothing at all, no. But what I was going to say was, you know, plenty of April Fool's jokes throughout the years. But one thing that strikes me is in 1965, right, you'll get plenty of people who will verify this, that the Isle of Man was the place in the world where the beer was the cheapest, car insurance was the cheapest, road tax was the cheapest, you name it, it was the cheapest anywhere. But through the years, it's gone up and up and up, and now it's the dearest. Right, so somewhere along the line, somebody's playing a good April Fool's joke on the public. And just a couple of other points. I totally agree with opening the tips again. But just for a matter of interest, fly tipping has always been around. I live up the top of Ronnock, and we're forever picking up rubbish that people dump. So it's not just now.
What sort of rubbish is it, Ed?
Well, you name it, I've found fridges, tellies, everything. They come out in the country just to throw it out the back of the vehicle and off they go. Bags of rubbish. We had a ditch at the back of us. They had to send somebody up from the commissioners to shift. Somebody had dumped about 20 windscreens, broken windscreens.
And what do you do with the TV or the fridge when you get it?
I have to take it. Well, I phone up the commissioners first, and then they say, well, if you take it, we'll let you have it, you know, dump it for free. But, you know, because it has been dumped, I think they maybe send a van up just to make sure it is there. I don't know. But sometimes they'll collect it. Sometimes I have to take it. But it's gone on for years. I think it always will be, which gets me to my next point. If they didn't charge anything for things at the tip, like TVs, fridges and all the rest of it, it makes hardly any money for them. Make it free, and then you won't have fire tipping.
And particularly, Ed, because they're talking now about being very green and carbon neutral and this, that and the other, as you say, and there are places around Europe, certainly in Germany, doesn't cost you anything. Take a fridge or a TV to a tip there, it's absolutely free. So
it should be here.
Yeah, so really, for the amount of money they're making from, I think, was it £15 for a television, £20 for a fridge or something.
Yeah.
Surely for the amount of money it cost them then to get anything that's been fly-tipped, just make it free.
There's somebody in the office somewhere who doesn't actually use a brain, but they're sat on a nice little number, getting paid really well for doing exactly the opposite of what we want. I'll give you a for instance, if you like. When the amenity centres first started up, they had recycled waste, in a sense of soil, twigs, you name it, and it's sort of turned over and over and over until you get what they call soil conditioner. Well, you used to be able to go in and get it for next to nothing, but somebody had the bright idea of selling it in bags. So they did that. They've got the machinery now to bag it up and everything, but the trouble is now nobody buys it because it's too expensive.
Yes.
And what do they do with it? Because it just builds up and up and up, they go and dump it on farmers' fields. So why not give it away dead cheap like they used to? Just use the brain for once, just use the brains. Tips for free.
All right.
That's what we need.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling us today. A note in from John, and if you're a member of the Isle of Man Bank Gold Card Scheme, have a listen to this. John said the scheme was put on hold last year. At the time, I was stuck in Spain, and I claimed for losses incurred. And I'm stuck in a morass of denial. I've been turned down for my claim as well. Have any other listeners experienced a similar problem with the Isle of Man Gold Card Scheme? I'm not aware of this. But if you want to send me more details, John, I'll be happy to that. And if you, if anybody has been involved in this or has had a claim turned down for the Isle of Man Bank Gold Card Scheme, I'll be happy to hear from you. Thank you for raising that, Joan. The items at Erie Cushlin got lots and lots of attention. Police say that it's shocking that fly tipping at one of the beautiful places, Erie Cushlin, in the West. Officers at Peel shared photos of the items dumped at Erie Cushlin as well. They explained that those responsible would have had to gained access via a padlock gate. So somebody knew what they were doing. The force said it's also land where livestock roam and fly tipping endangers animals. Now, if you've got any more information about this shocking thing at Erie Cushlin, contact Peel Police. They're on, 842208, 842208. If you want to speak to Peel Police, or Crime Stoppers is on 0800 555 111. Fly tipping problem as well. You took the dog for a walk down Happy Valley last night, and a load of garden waste was dumped on the beach. With lockdown, more people are doing works at home. With the amenity sites not being open, more people are chancing fly tipping. Just open the amenity sites and solve the problem. How do we do this as well? Chief Minister's briefing is at 4 o'clock today. You'll hear it live on Manx Radio. You can see it on YouTube and Facebook as well. So is the reason then that the amenity sites are closed? They're saying it's safety, and we agree that obviously safety has to be observed. But if we're going to, and yesterday Dr. Ewart did say 5 or 6 weeks. 5 or 6 weeks.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio. From midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Thank you, Frieda. If it is going to last 5 or 6 weeks, what's going to happen with all the people? One lady dropped me a note to say she's actually moving house. So it's causing a heck of a problem as well. Why isn't it that the last time the Northern Tip had an appointment system, it worked well? Do it again, says Graham. And Nick on the Man in Line today. Hello, Nick.
Yes, hello, Andy. Good afternoon. I just wondered if perhaps the government or one of the press could ask at the conference this afternoon if they could clear up the difference in the numbers, because on Monday there was 865 cases. Which, if you look at the numbers on the government website, that gives you 108 additional cases. However, David Ashford first said 56 and then eventually came out with 110. So Monday's figures weren't right from what I've seen. And also yesterday, 1,026 cases, which gives a difference of 74 from the previous day. And there were 75 cases. So
yeah.
The maths are not adding up, are they?
Somebody explain that to me somebody will explain that to me, hopefully. But we did notice that. But I think Mr. Ashford did come out with some reason about it. Mr. Ashford and his famous snapshots.
Well, you know, what's he really saying there? Whenever you give a report on anything, it's always a snapshot, isn't it? Because that's the number at that time. But David Ashford let it slip that he knows what time the figures come up to, because he mentioned that in one of his previous when he was talking to the press. But what he did say, which is interesting, is he says, depending on when that snapshot is taken and how busy they are, it could be 10 o'clock in the morning or it could be 6 p.m. at night. So in reality, what David Ashford is saying is, from day to day, that timing, it's by definition, according to his words, it's never a 24-hour period. And this is the number that the government are reporting, not just to the people of the Isle of Man, but to the world.
Nick, how are you coping? How are you coping with this third lockdown?
Well, from how the government are handling it, I think there are one or two questions that are glaringly obvious that if we just take a step back and have a think about it. I mean, I've got a question for you, actually, Andy. What are you looking at to allow you to make an informed decision or even an educated guess as to your safety when you're out and about on the Isle of Man?
In what way?
Well, how do you make that judgment, Andy? Today, for example, if I said to you, well, what's your risk today, Andy, when you're out and about going about your business?
Well, I don't go about my business. I literally drive from my home to the radio station.
Yes, but nobody in the Isle of Man, as far as I can see, knows what the risk is because they're not telling you. All they're giving you is the number. You don't know how many people are isolating. You don't know, even if they give you that number, you wouldn't know if it was numbers of households. You don't know how many people are phoning 111 with different symptoms. There's no information out there at all, as far as I can see, where any person who was vulnerable would be able to make any sort of decision that today is more risky than yesterday. Where is that information? Where would you look to find that out, Andy? Or are we just saying we don't know?
Well, I think most people are guessing and most people have a level of trust with the government. I think different people have a different level of trust with the government.
Right. Okay.
What's your level of trust with the government?
Well, I thought that... this is my own personal opinion. I thought that the Chief Minister was doing a good job. And then when the steam packet case was announced, I think that was handled terribly in that you yourselves were chasing the government, you were chasing steam packet, nothing was being announced. And it had already been mentioned several times, are the government happy with the steam packet situation, Henrietta Hewitt, are you happy with the situation with the steam packet? So these questions were asked time and time again. And then suddenly there's a case, and then, you know, nearly a year down the line, we find out that the steam packet local crew have not been isolating. And The Chief Minister, his words were, he doesn't want to see a witch hunt. Well, the people who have been jailed over here and the people who have lost family members due to COVID, I think the Chief Minister was very unwise when he used the words that he's happy with the situation, it doesn't need to be looked into. So trust... it doesn't look very good.
Okay. All right, Nick, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers. Bye.
A note in from Avril. It's crazy to keep the amenity sites closed. They opened last time with social distancing in place. For someone like me, moving house, it's a nightmare. My bin was full to the brim. Somebody kindly then put a bag of their rubbish into mine, so it was overflowing. Chief Minister's on at 4 this afternoon, by the way. Gary in Ramsey said, I was sitting in the car outside ShopRite in Ramsey. Queue of people waiting in line. But this hasn't stopped speeding drivers driving fast, only feet away from them. Children, older people being put in danger. Maybe fencing, maybe signage is needed before there's a nasty accident as well. If they put a canal from Douglas to Peel, the Isle of Man would have fallen to bits. They can't even control simple road drainage here. Never mind a canal. Reader's Digest, April Fool. As for waste, said Paul, people on the Isle of Man, get a life, come on, stick your waste where the sun doesn't shine. That's Paul's word, by the way, not mine.
Save over £420 by moving your mobile, unlimited broadband and landline to Shore. Bundle all your services into one great package right now. Simply sign up to a 24-month contract with Shore, enjoy all three services and save. Get more for less. Visit shore.com or call our sales hotline on 692230 and set up your very own great value big bundle.
Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the AB Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. AB Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
AB Metals in Hills Meadow are probably the largest structural steel supplier on the island. So where do you get your steel?
AB Metals, AB Metals, AB Metals.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
This is a tough time for the island's businesses, but Manx Radio is here to help. Right now, we're offering special rates to let you get your message across to potentially over 49,000 listeners even more cost-effectively. Whatever your business, whatever its size, call our sales team now on 682 600 or email sales@manxradio.com to find out more. And get the power of Manx Radio working for your business.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes before one, 5 days a week live on Manx Radio. The Man in Line is your chance to have your say about things that concern you. The Bemercry is sitting in harbour at the moment. This morning's 8:45 sailing didn't go. Consequently, the 2:15 won't be happening because she's here. Tonight, 7:45 is subject to possible disruption or cancellation. And we'll know at 5:30 tonight if the Bemercry is going. No newspapers today because of that situation. At least your caller's daughter had an annual leave to use up. I work in schools. I've had to use up my accrued sick pay and I'm now on half pay. I can't claim MIRA. And that's... for people on nil pay. My situation anyway. A note just says, I work for the government too. Three colleagues with letters for shielding have been told they will get 1 week paid leave to shield and the other 2 weeks they have to take as annual leave or owe the hours back or come into work, none of whom could work from home as well. And the problem with the Southern 100, apparently, is getting the required medical cover. So that couldn't happen. Lockdown or no lockdown, fly tipping is just wrong anytime, says this correspondent. If we can't manage our rubbish for a couple of weeks, what's wrong with people? Get a grip. We're in a pandemic with figures rising. A note in from Jeff. Regarding the government worker who's been lucky enough to have had both vaccines but still continues to shield, I agree they should go back to work if she's had a vaccine. What was the point if she's going to stay at home? I agree the shielded who've had the vaccine need to get back to work as well. A note in from Pam. Do you know if they're putting the TT 2021 online in the TT game like they did last year? That note in from James. And we don't know whether... I'll ask the question as well, whether we're going to be doing a virtual radio TT as we did last year. That went down really well all around the world as well. We need to encourage people to start smoking and drinking, says this correspondent. The motorists can't support the economy single-handed. We need everybody to contribute. The additional revenue from new and old smokers and those that like a drink will get us through. Joking apart, somebody needs to be very, very clever in creating revenue. Because we're going to need it. It's going to be financially crippling as the time goes on. That note in from Chris. Apparently they're not going around Ramsey to pick up the excess. They're protecting the bin men and ensuring people don't come anywhere near, says Mary. That's what it's all about. By the way, if you want to find out more about Radio Garden, it shows you a world map. You can zoom in and out and click the dot for any radio station on cities and towns around the world, and then it streams it live. That's called Radio Garden. Our correspondent from abroad was listening to us. What's the fine for fly tipping, Andy? Says this correspondent. Don't think they've fined anybody for ages. Thanks to Barry Redfern, producing today on The Man in Line. Returning tomorrow at 12 midday.
WINT